child I send you, forgive me. My sins have been cast in the depths of the sea. I have been washed in the stream of salvation, and I am free. I have good news, your sins are forgiven. They're farther away as the east is from west. Come now and bathe in the stream of salvation, and know his best.
Good Sunday morning. And welcome to Forgiven, the weekly radio broadcast of Northeast Baptist Church of Danbury. We're happy that you tuned in today, and we hope you will find the program beneficial to you. Now, here's our pastor, Joe Vassie.
Jesus is walking alone at night, probably headed to his place of prayer. Suddenly, from the shadows, he hears, psst. Jesus stops and turns and looks. And out steps this very well-dressed, impressive-looking man. From the man's appearance, Jesus knew immediately that he was a member of the group of Jewish religious leaders called the Pharisees. The Pharisees were no fans of Jesus. They were all about show. Well, Jesus was all about substance. The Pharisees preached the law and good works. Jesus preached faith and grace. The Pharisees stressed how people appeared on the outside. Well, Jesus emphasized what people should allow God to do in their hearts. Everyone knew that the Pharisees didn't care for this maverick new preacher named Jesus. And that's the reason this Pharisee was approaching Jesus at night. He didn't want to be seen talking to Jesus. This Pharisee's name was Nicodemus. He stepped out of the shadows and immediately Nicodemus began talking to Jesus and he spoke very respectfully. Sir, I've been told to avoid you. I've been told that you are not authentic, that you're not from God. But the things that you do, making lame people walk, healing people of leprosy, opening blind eyes, nobody could do these things if they were not sent by God. So on one hand, the people I respect are telling me that you're a phony. On the other hand, I see you do these things that a man who is a phony could not do. Now, I don't understand. Jesus answered Nicodemus immediately by saying, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus was saying, no, this doesn't make sense to you, and it's not going to make sense to you until you are born again. Nicodemus looked puzzled. He probably even laughed a little when he said, born again? How can I be born again? Am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb and go through the whole birth process again? Jesus went on to explain that he wasn't talking about being born physically for a second time. No, he was talking about being born spiritually. Nicodemus, there was a definite time and place when you were born physically. Now there needs to be a definite time and place when you are born spiritually. So the obvious question that Nicodemus would have is, how can I be born spiritually? And that's when Jesus made what has become one of the most famous statements in the history of humanity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. And the operative word in John 3:16 is the word believe. A person is born again, born spiritually, when he decides to believe on Jesus. And just as there was a time and a place when you were born physically, there must come a time and a place when you choose to believe on Jesus to be born spiritually. And when you make that choice, there are certain things that happen immediately. Now, there are many things that happen over time after you choose to believe on Jesus. You spend the rest of your life getting to know God for yourself, growing in your faith, and becoming more like Jesus Christ. But there are also many things that happen immediately. They happen the very moment that you choose to believe on Jesus. I want to share with you from the Bible some of the things, in fact, 12 things that the Bible says happen the moment you choose to believe on Jesus. Number one, the moment you choose to believe on Jesus, all of your sins are forgiven. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in Jesus Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The moment you choose to believe on Jesus, all of your sins are forgiven. The human race is a fallen race. Every one of us is a member of a fallen race. We have rebelled against our Creator. We have decided that we don't need God, that we want to be our own gods. We are all sinners in God's sight. If we weren't sinners, we wouldn't know how to sin. We wouldn't know how to lie. We wouldn't know how to steal, how to hate, how to disobey authority. Take a look around at what human beings have done to this world. Clearly, we all know how to lie, how to steal, how to hate, and how to disobey authority. God didn't make us to do these things, but He did give us the ability to choose. And when we chose to turn our backs on Him, to rebel against God, we became sinners in God's sight. Our sins separate us from God. Our sins are a wall between us and God. Our sins prevent us from knowing God. Our sins cause us to forfeit all the good things that God has for us, the wisdom, the strength, the answered prayer, understanding, opportunity, stability, fulfillment. All of these things and so many more come only from God. And our sins, our lies, our hatred, our cheating, our stealing, our dishonesty, our greed, our immorality, all of these things keep us away from God's grace and goodness, and our sins cause us to be condemned by the just and holy judge of the universe. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that He took our sins upon Himself. He became the embodiment of our sins. He became sin for us. He was condemned in our place. He took the sentence of our sins upon Himself. And the result is that the moment you turn from your sin and believe on Jesus, immediately all of your sins are forgiven. Every lie you've ever told is immediately forgiven by God. Every work of deceit and dishonesty you've ever committed is forgiven by God. Every angry word, every vicious action, every vile thought, every evil imagination, every hateful emotion, God forgives you immediately. The moment you believe on Jesus, God tears down that wall of sin that has separated you from Him, and He welcomes you into His presence and in His blessing. You are forgiven. The moment you choose to put your faith in Jesus Christ, God forgives all your sins. Not only that, but secondly, the moment you choose to believe on Jesus, God stops writing down your sins. Listen to Romans chapter 4. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. After you believe on Jesus, you're going to want to please Him. You're going to want to live for Him. But unfortunately, you're still going to fail. You're still going to goof up. You're still going to sin. But the difference is, after you believe on Jesus, not only does God forgive your old sins, and not only does God help you overcome the old ways, but the Bible says that when you do sin, God stops writing down your sins in His records. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You see, the Bible tells us that the day will come when everybody in the world will stand before God and be judged according to our works. The Bible says that the books will be opened and our works, as recorded in those books, will condemn us forever. But when you believe on Jesus, God tears out the pages of sinful works that are recorded against you and destroys them forever. And He never again writes down any more sins against your record. But then there's one more thing that God does in His books when you believe on Jesus, and that leads us to number 3. The moment you believe on Jesus, God writes your name in the book of life. Listen to this from Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. God is giving the Apostle John a vision of the future, and John is telling us what he sees. He says, I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So wait a minute, there's the books, and then there's another book, the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, based on that, I want to know just one thing. How do I get my name written in the book of life? And the answer is simple. The moment you believe on Jesus, God writes your name in the book of life. So I've shown you three things from the Bible that happen the moment you believe on Jesus. First, your sins are all forgiven. Second, God stops recording your sins when you commit them. Third, God writes your name in the book of life. Now, number four, the moment you choose to believe on Jesus, God immediately sees you as righteous. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21. God hath made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, I told you a minute ago that when Jesus died on the cross, Jesus became sin for us. God the Father looked down at his own son on the cross, and instead of seeing the righteous Son of God there, he saw all of the filth and darkness of all of our sin. Jesus became sin for us. But because of that, once you choose to believe on Jesus, when God looks at you, God sees you as righteous. On the cross, Jesus changed places with every sinner. Jesus became sin so that we could become righteous. Now, the mystery of it is that after you believe on Jesus, you do still sin sometimes. But your status in the sight of God has completely and permanently changed. God no longer sees you as a sinner. He now sees you as righteous. Not only that, but number five, the moment you believe on Jesus, immediately you possess everlasting life. And I could give you dozens of Bible verses that confirm this, but this one verse says it all very clearly. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus says that the moment a person believes on him, that very moment, that person has everlasting life. You have everlasting life the moment you believe on Jesus. That truth is confirmed again and again throughout the Bible. You don't receive everlasting life when you die. You receive it. It belongs to you. It is your permanent possession the moment you believe on Jesus. And the fact that God promises again and again that I have everlasting life as soon as I believe on Jesus means that I always have it. Think about it. Because if I could lose everlasting life, then I never had it. If I have everlasting life on Monday, and then I have it revoked on Tuesday by the very one who gave it to me, then I didn't really have it on Monday because it turned out to not be everlasting. If everlasting life can be taken away from me by the one who gave it to me, then the one who gave it to me is a shyster. He's a crooked salesman. He pulled a bait and switch. He's a weasel who deceived me with the fine print. No, that's not God. When God says that I have everlasting life when I believe on Jesus, which the Bible says again and again, by definition, I can count on it that it is mine forever. The moment you believe on Jesus, God forgives your sins. He stops writing down your sins. He writes your name in the book of life. He sees you as righteous. He gives you everlasting life. And then number six, you pass from death to life. It says that in the very same verse that we just read, John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Understand that God is life. God isn't just a source of life. In fact, God is more than the source of life. God is life. When you are separated from God, You're separated from life. Our sins cause us to be separated from God. Therefore, our sins cause us to be separated from life. We call our time in this earth living, but that's not accurate. We're not living, we're dying. The moment you were born, you began dying. Why are we dying? Because our sins have separated us from life. God is life. To be separated from God is to be separated from life. I don't mean to be dramatic or morbid, friend, but if you haven't dealt with the fact that you've sinned against your Creator, not only are you in sin right now, but you are in death right now. The Bible says that you are dead in trespasses and sins. It doesn't get any worse than that. But the moment you choose to believe on Jesus, immediately you pass from death to life. So one moment you're in death, and the next moment, by believing on Jesus, you are in life. You have passed from death to life. Number 7, the moment you believe on Jesus, you are born spiritually. John 3, 6 and 7, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. This is part of what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, I don't understand how I can be born a second time. Birth only happens once. And Jesus explained, I'm not talking about a second physical birth. I'm talking about your one and only spiritual birth. Because of our sin against God, we are all spiritually dead. When God warned Adam about eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he told him that the day he ate the fruit, he would die. Now, if you know what it says in Genesis 3, you know that Adam and Eve didn't drop dead as soon as they ate of the fruit. So did God misinform them? No, they died, but they didn't die physically, they died spiritually. Sin and death are inseparably linked. Where there is sin, there is death, always. You can't always see the death, but you will eventually. The tragically ironic thing about spiritual death is that you don't know you're spiritually dead because you've never experienced spiritual life. When you're spiritually dead and you see spiritual life in someone else, your immediate reaction is to assume that they're faking it, that they're following an illusion, that they're caught up on some emotional high or something. But everybody who has chosen to believe on Jesus as their Savior from sin knows that when they made that choice, a spiritual life, a spiritual awareness and perception, a spiritual understanding and desire was born inside of them. It's very real and very powerful. Those who reject Jesus will mock that spiritual life because they'll never understand what they don't have. But the moment that you choose to believe on Jesus, you are born spiritually. Another thing that happens the moment you choose to believe on Jesus is that, number 8, God makes you his child. John 1 verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we've all heard people say, well, we're all God's children. But the fact is, according to the Bible, we are not all God's children. It says that when we're in sin, we are children of darkness, children of wrath, and it even says children of Satan. When you're in sin, God doesn't give you the authority to call yourself his child. But the moment you make the choice to believe on Jesus, God gives you the power, the authority to call him your father and to call yourself his child. You enter into a father-child relationship with Almighty God. Number 9, God gives you a new nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Every human being is born with a sin nature, a nature that can do nothing to please God. It is a nature that comes from the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, and that sin nature has been passed to every person who has ever lived. The moment you choose to believe on Jesus and you're born spiritually, you immediately have a new nature. And just as your old nature cannot please God, your new nature cannot sin. A battle begins between your old nature and your new nature, a battle that will continue as long as you live on this earth. Which one will win? The one you feed the most. The only way that any person can really ever permanently overcome the sins that plague and enslave him is to have that new nature born inside of him and to feed his mind and heart on the things that cause that new nature to thrive. That new nature is born in you the moment you choose to believe on Jesus. Number 10, the moment you choose to believe on Jesus, God the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? God is a God of three persons. You've probably heard the term the Trinity before. Well, God is a Trinity. He's not three different gods. He's one God, three persons. Just like you and I have a body, a soul, and a spirit, God has a body, a soul, and a spirit. God the Father is the soul of God. God the Son is God in a human body, Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. The defining attribute of God the Holy Spirit is omnipresence. That means that he can be everywhere all at the same time. The Holy Spirit is God, just as God the Father is God. The Holy Spirit is God, just as Jesus is God. And when you make the choice to believe on Jesus, God the Holy Spirit comes and makes his permanent residence inside of you. Your body becomes his temple. That means that he is your full-time teacher, your full-time encourager, your full-time guide, your full-time empowerer. When Jesus gave us the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you, he was promising to always be with us and in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you the moment you choose to believe on Jesus. Number 11, the moment you choose to believe on Jesus, you immediately have access to God in prayer. Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Understand that God makes no promise to answer the prayers of those who are still in sin. Of course, he can hear and answer the prayers of any person anytime he chooses, but he makes no promise to hear the prayers of those who have not believed on Jesus. There are all kinds of amazing promises made to those who have believed on Jesus. Promises where God says he will hear you. He will answer before you call. He will do far more than you can ask or think. He will give you the desires of your heart. Just incredible prayer promises. And God always keeps his word. But not one of those incredible prayer promises is made to people in general. They are only made to those who have made the choice to believe on Jesus. The very moment you make the choice to believe on Jesus, immediately those promises are yours, and you can begin to see God consistently and faithfully answer your prayers. We're almost finished. Number 12, the moment you choose to believe on Jesus, you are instantly in fellowship with Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship means friendship, communication. It means a personal relationship. To say that you are in fellowship is to say that you are close, that you have an affiliation, a personal connection, a bond. Identify somebody in your mind right now, somebody you don't know, but you'd like to know, a celebrity, a famous person, an actor, an athlete, a singer, somebody like that. Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to casually tell people that you know that person, that they're your friend, that...
Yeah, I could call them right now if I wanted to.
Okay, God promises that the moment you choose to believe on Jesus, you have a right to make those claims about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You begin a close friendship with him that will continue forever, and you will be as close as you choose to be. That fellowship, that friendship with Jesus will take you through all of the battles and challenges of life. And, as with other things I've mentioned today, People who don't know Jesus will laugh and make fun of you because they don't understand it. They don't get it. But you know it's real. These are just a few of the things the Bible says happen the moment you choose to believe on Jesus. God forgives your sins. God stops writing down the sins you commit. God writes your name in the book of life. God sees you as righteous. You immediately have everlasting life. You are passed from death to life. You are born spiritually. You immediately become a child of God. God gives you a new nature. God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of you. You immediately have access to God in prayer, and you are instantly in fellowship with Jesus Christ. So before I say goodbye, here's my question to you. Have you made the choice to believe on Jesus? I've showed you from the Bible that God says we're a fallen race. We've rebelled against our Creator. I've showed you from the Bible that God says that because of our sin, we face a sentence of eternal damnation. But the good news, I've showed you from the Bible that Jesus died on the cross to take our sentence for us. And now God invites you to exchange your sin for His righteousness. Won't you make that choice? If your answer is yes, you don't have to deal with me. Go straight to God. Tell God for yourself. Dear God, I know I have sinned against you. I'm sorry. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. Right now, I choose to receive Jesus as my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. Help me to live for you. Thank you for saving me. Amen. If you made that choice just now, God has a world of blessing prepared for you. If you received Jesus today, I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. God bless you. Have a great week.
The people of Northeast Baptist Church thank you for spending a few minutes with us this morning. We appreciate your time, and we hope that you enjoyed the Forgiven broadcast. If you'd like to contact us with a comment or a prayer need, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at forgiven@nbcdanbury.org, or you can call the church office at 203-798-7088. We invite you to join our live stream service this morning at 11. You can watch it at nbcdanbury.org, on our Northeast Baptist Church Facebook page, or on our YouTube channel. If you enjoyed the radio broadcast, you'll love our church services. We'll see you again next Sunday morning at 7. God bless you, and have a great week.
I am God's child, I stand here forgiven. My sins have been